Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. And I'm glad you're here. I'm very glad to tell you that Tom Asacker is back with us. Tom is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, over 9 years. He is the author of a number of books, including A Clear Eye for Branding and A Little Less Conversation. He is one of the top branding experts I've ever met in my long career, and the top branding expert in our Brain Trust, and he's our good friend, Tom Asacker. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
It's good to have you back. We're doing great. Tom, I have been, of late, I've been talking about something that is the title of my next book, and I've been weaving it into the conversation whenever it's appropriate, and I think this is one of those cases. I've been talking about something I call the age of the customer. And I'm saying that the age that we're leaving is the age of the seller, where the seller had more control over the relationship. But we're now entering the age of the customer, where the customer has more control over the relationship. And the big thing that shifted was information, access to the information. And so my question to you, first question is, do you agree with me that we're entering the age of the customer, where the customer has more control? And number two, if that's the case, what does that do for branding? Is branding still relevant? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a big question. Are we entering the age of the customer?
Do you think we are in and moving forward into the age of the customer?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that for the last 10 years, we've been rapidly moving into it, and I mean, we are fully into this idea that that value in the marketplace is co-created now. It's a partnership between the customer and the company. It's no longer the company makes and builds and promotes and forces things through the lines of distribution, and then we just passively just go pick it up.
Right.
That's not how it works anymore.
Allow ourselves to be manipulated, and yes, please let me have that.
Yeah, well, we didn't know any better. I mean,
right.
You know, now we're actively participating in how we make our decisions in the marketplace. We're not on autopilot, and that changes the game entirely. It changes the game. I mean, in fact, the whole idea, this notion of brand. Even though I wrote a book, A Clear Eye for Branding, which was hopefully to turn people's eyes towards what really is going on in the marketplace and get a clear vision. It really hasn't worked because we have this idea, the word brand conjures up promotion. It conjures up persuasion. It conjures up this idea that what you do is this static thing. And if we could just find the right words to describe this thing or the right colors to display this thing, that we can then capture people's attention and get them to do things. And I'm trying to tell people that a brand is not that. A brand is a living, breathing idea. It's what you do to bring people and organizations and products and services to life for the benefit of the audience. If you're
right,
not doing things that bring it to life, then your brand is dead. It's just a static thing.
Well, it therefore actually doesn't exist. You know, I remember years ago when you and I were talking about small business branding, we were trying to compare small business branding to a big business brand, and we were trying to tell people, we did tell people, that small businesses could compete with those big brands by doing what you just said, by letting people have an experience, by encouraging them and building upon the idea that they'd have this wonderful experience with you, not that you've got this great this atomic logo or whatever or tagline or this big marketing budget. You don't have that, but you could still compete based on the experience. Well, in those days, you and I actually, it was actually perceived that we would be disadvantaged. We could do all that, but we would still be not be quite as good as the big guys. But today, in what I'm calling the age of the customer, Tom, I actually think another shift is happening. I think the advantage is going to the small business, because that's where people would prefer the experience over the big brand. They're not allowing themselves to be manipulated by the big brand anymore. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't. I honestly don't think that customers care if you're big or small. But I do agree with you that that small business, and I'm gonna put the big quotation marks around this, should have an edge.
Yeah.
And here's why. I mean, today it's about Cecil Beaton was a great English photographer, and I'm on this quote that he wrote, and I can't get off of it.
Who is this again? What's his name?
Cecil Beaton. He was a great English photographer.
Okay. All right.
And he wrote this. He said, "Be daring, be different, be impractical, be anything that will assert integrity of purpose and imaginative vision against the play it safers, the creatures of the commonplace, the slaves of the ordinary." I think this whole idea behind being daring and different and impractical and asserting what your integrity of purpose as a business is and your imaginative vision, that is the key to success in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes Apple, Apple. That's what makes Southwest Airlines, Southwest Airlines. The whole idea that while the other airlines in 2009 were making $3 billion on these baggage fees, and Southwest Airlines CEO Gary Kelly, he was drawing criticism from Wall Street because he didn't do it.
Right.
He stuck to his integrity of purpose. It was a hard thing to do,
and
he did it. Now, why do small businesses, why should they have an edge? Because guess what? When they need to be daring and different, they don't have to fight the resistance of hundreds or thousands.
We don't
of people.
Have to check with our chief counsel attorney
they
about
be able
that.
To just, they should be, and they should be able to mobilize their people, which is a smaller team of people.
Right. Well
so
said.
That's where the advantage lies, right there.
Well, I'll tell you something else, Tom. I bet if every small business owner out there listening would think about it, they got their business off the ground by doing what you just said, that quote you just made, and then they lapse into this complacency or this attitude of being afraid. If I'm too daring, I'll lose something. I think if all small business owners would call on that same attitude they had when they started their business, when they didn't know they weren't supposed to be able to do this, I think that's an attitude they should get back to. Hold on to that thought, Tom. I'll tell you what, give us your website quickly.
It's aclear-eye.com.
I'm Ace Acker, and all of his books and all the things that he does there for his clients right there on that website. Quick break, 20 after, right back after these messages. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Tom to repeat that quote. I liked it very much. Stay with us.
Love is strange. Love.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blassingame. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Lots of good stuff there to help you with your small business, and including the newsletter. You can subscribe to that. We'll send that to you every Sunday afternoon by email. And, of course, my blog is there, the articles, the archives, the Brain Trust members, lots and lots of stuff. You got 5 minutes. Actually, you got 5 seconds. We got some stuff that you can do in 5 seconds or 15 minutes all the way up to there. On any topic under the Small Business Sun, we got something for you there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And I'm also on Twitter at Jim Blassingame. Tom A. Secker is our guest. He's our good friend. We're talking about the relevance of branding in the age of the customer. And Tom says you need to be daring. You need to be outrageous, maybe even outrageous. Right, Tom?
Well, definitely. I mean, go back to your point. Most of these small businesses that are successes today got that way because they did something that was different and impractical and daring to start with.
I've actually had people say to me, "How did you do this?" You know, talking about my small business. How did you do this? And I actually remember thinking about it and saying this out loud. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to.
Well, yeah. I mean, the great physicist. One of the great physicists of all times once said that the reason that scientists to come up with these breakthroughs in science are under the age of 30 to 35 is because they're too ignorant to know what they're doing. I mean, basically, they're moving forward with these ideas because they haven't been conditioned to believe that these things can't happen or that they're not true.
Would you read that quote again? Sarah Beaton, Cecil Beaton. Read that again. I'd just like the audience to hear that again.
Yeah, it's be daring, be different, be impractical, be anything that will assert integrity of purpose and imaginative vision against the play-it-safers, the creatures of the commonplace, the slaves of the ordinary. I met last night with an entrepreneur, a friend of mine, a brilliant innovator, and he's working on an idea. Let's not call it a brand, see? Let's call it an idea. He's working on an idea to help improve the lives of people who suffer from incontinence. And he met with some experts, with some doctors, and they told him he was crazy, that his idea is crazy. So he said to me, I know I'm on the right path. Right? I mean, he knows because it's different. It's impractical. It's daring. It's not what they're used to. It makes people uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need to be doing. You need to do. I mean, look at today's cars. I was driving here, and I was thinking about talking to you, and I'm looking at these cars, and I said to myself, you know, if we remove the logos from all of these cars and lined them up, nobody could tell one from the other.
They're all the same. You're exactly right.
You couldn't tell what you know, the difference in the brand.
Well, for example, you could have two side by side. One could be a $20,000 car. The other could be a $60,000 car. Without the logo, it'd be hard to tell the difference.
That's it. And you see, this is what the tendency is for businesses, for people. It's to all become the same.
Yeah.
To all look alike and feel alike. And guess what? With the abundance of businesses out there and options, when you start looking alike and feeling alike the other guys, you disappear.
Yeah.
You disappear. And to me, that's the greatest challenge.
And you cannot compete with the big guys like that either.
Oh, absolutely not.
You cannot compete with the big guys. You've got to – the key to your brand, small business owners, and Tom has taught us this over the years, is you must differentiate yourself. And one of the biggest pots of capital that you have is the capital of being daring, the ability to be daring, as you said earlier, Tom, without having to have a committee meeting or ask an attorney.
Yeah, but you know, here's what happens. People think about being different, and they say, "Well, I want to be different, but not too much. And I don't want to upset anyone."
Right.
And it reminds me, and I wrote a post on my blog, it was 45 years ago this week, Bob Dylan played at the Newport Folk Festival. And that's when he broke out the electric guitar.
Right.
And started playing. And he ticked off the entire folk music establishment.
Mm-hmm.
They hated him. What are you doing? You can't be doing this. That's not folk music. But he was daring. He was different. He was stretching, trying something new. And that's what had him break through as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Entrepreneurs, business owners are artists. They have to create. If you're getting up in the morning and you're not saying, how do we create new? How do we bring things to life? You forgot the purpose of what you're doing.
Right.
Most people are getting up saying, how do we persuade people? Forget that. Don't persuade. Dylan didn't say, how do I persuade people to like the electric guitar?
Or they spend so much time worrying about how do I protect what I have.
Yeah, forget it.
There's nothing wrong with not being foolhardy, folks. But if you can't be a little bit daring as an entrepreneur, what are you being an entrepreneur for? I mean, you're actually not an entrepreneur anymore.
And that's what you're
a shopkeeper.
People, and that's what inspires people.
Yeah.
Not just customers, but your people. They want to get up in the morning and be inspired.
And that's what makes you memorable. And isn't that the essence of, isn't that at the nucleus of branding, to be memorable?
That's it.
Hey, Tom, give us the website one more time.
It's aclear-eye.com.
And then you can find all of Tom's books there, A Clear Eye for Branding, The Sandbox Wisdom, et cetera, A Little Less Conversation, and a new one coming out real soon. We're looking forward to that. We expect to launch that on the show, Tom. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Tom A. Secker, ladies and gentlemen. He's the best. I'll be back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.